Okay, God bless you all. Tonight is going to be, I would say, short, sweet, and to the point. I had an incident that kind of happened overnight, and I want to share that with you. Last night, as I came home from being out of the house, I put the car in park in front of the house, as I normally do, and parked the car. And, of course, you know, after you park the car, you turn the key to the off position, and normally you would pull the key out. Well, in my attempt to pull the key out of the ignition, the key was stuck on the ACC setting, the accessibility setting, or whatever that stands for. And I tried everything from putting the car in drive, back to park, reverse, back to park, restarting the car and turning it off again, and it just wasn't coming out. So I called my brother outside to help me out. He couldn't figure it out, so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to put this to bed, and hopefully you can show me something in the morning. Well, of course, a situation like this can be pretty stressful. Your mind kind of starts to race, or it could start to race, and mine certainly did, because it's, you know, all the things like what's going on with the car? Is it something I'm going to have to get repaired? Am I going to have to take it in? And, you know, the list goes on and on and on, right? So this morning, I woke up at my standard time, and I was fully prepared not to go to work. But of course, God told me, you know, go outside, go to the car and check on it. So I take my spare key, get in the car. Of course, the other key is still in there, and it's still stuck on the ACC position. I look down, and you know where cars have the phone charger port, right? Usually there's a space for you to put things like a box of mints, you know, whatever, maybe your sunglasses. Well, in this case, I had my little baggie with all of my tooth cleaning supplies. As most of you know, I currently have orthodontic things known as braces, and I have to keep them super clean. So everywhere I go, I have to take a toothbrush and toothpaste and a bunch of other things that I rarely use. And I noticed it was sticking out a little bit. And God said, just push it. Push it off further back or put it off to the side. Well, I hit it, and then the shift stick completely went into the parking gear, and it clicked into place. And lo and behold, the key popped right out. And I'm looking up, I'm saying, God, you are so good. Now, in life, we have two options. And we have two options to walk. Either we're going to walk in the five senses, or we're going to walk by the Spirit. Now, I think for many of us, the answer to that question is quite simple. But tonight, I figured we would just kind of, let's say, refresh our spiritual muscles a little bit. And you could take your Bibles and go to the book of Romans. It's on my heart to read Romans chapter 8 tonight, because the book of Romans has such great wisdom and encouragement. When all else fails, read Romans, right? But the exhortation in this section of Scripture is mainly to live our truth of being made free through the Spirit of Christ within and to walk by the Spirit. In other words, to be spiritually minded. And there are many reasons why that should be the case. And Romans 8 mentions some wonderful truths. So here we go. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, verse 6, I love this one. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, there are your two options, right? Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see a lot of compare and contrast here. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, verse 13, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so, that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, verse 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm going to kind of skip down here, okay, to the last part of this chapter. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now here's the punchline, if you will. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen to that, huh? Well, as many of you guys remember, last Monday we looked at a subject that I called Live Your Truth, because what seems to be a common theme these days, especially within the younger crowd, is this idea of finding one's self-identification so that they can live truthfully and unapologetically. Now, I've always wondered what that actually meant. Well, I'm here to tell you that it means nothing. But the born-again believer's reality is to walk by the Spirit. Because the reality is that our physical lives mean little to nothing compared to our new spiritual bodies when we begin eternity with the Father, whenever that day may come. And there are a lot of other good things that are in the book of Romans, but it was on my heart to just read this chapter with y'all tonight. Romans is jam-packed with wisdom. A lot of good stuff in there, guys. So I think we'll look at some more of Romans in future times, okay? So God bless you guys. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being the Father that you are to us. The truths that are in your word, Father, are for us to remind ourselves of whenever we get caught up in different situations. But we're so thankful that we have your word, Father. It's just remarkable. So thank you for all that you do, all that you are. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.